This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to the Morning Run, and you're with Julian Ng and Lin Mark on this 1st of April, Monday. Now, looking at the international headlines, U.S. stocks ended higher on Friday after signs of progress with the U.S.-China trade talks, which helped outweigh some fears over the slowing economy. All the three major indices, the S&P 500, Dow Jones, as well as NASDAQ, closed between 0.7 and 0.8% in positive territory.
European shares were also in the green on Friday. This is after British Prime Minister Theresa May lost another crucial Brexit vote in the UK Parliament. So Francis CAC was the biggest gainer. They gained about 1%. The stocks, the UK's FTSE and Germany's DAX, were all up 0.6%.
And in Asia, the Asian markets also did very well on Friday. The Shanghai Composite closed up 3%, and this chalks up about 24% in the first quarter of 2014. All the rest of the Asian markets also did pretty well. Japan and Hong Kong closed up almost 1%. South Korea's KOSPI closed up 0.6%, and less for Singapore and KL, but still within positive territory.
So we have some international headlines. Primarily, the palladium bubble seems to have burst. So with the biggest drop since 2010, they fell for a third day on Friday to around $1,375, or about 5,600 ringgit. Now, I think the palladium bubble was driven by the electric vehicle market, right? So it is
correct.
Used in vehicle exhaust systems to curb harmful emissions. And they almost doubled to a record $1,620 an ounce in March.
And Lin, driven is certainly the correct way to describe it. So the Brexit deal was rejected again by Prime Minister Theresa May losing her bid again to get a hard Brexit approved by UK lawmakers. In a final bid to break the deadlock, the UK leader may now call for a general election.
I think they'll be going to the polls again later today as well to vote on, to try and see what other options might be on the table. One of the ones that they're saying could be likely is that Britain could stay in a customs union with the European Union. So we also have the first official gauge of China's manufacturing sector, which rebounded in March, signalling a stabilisation in the economy as some policy stimulus takes hold. So the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index rose to 50.5 from 49.2 last month, the biggest jump on month since 2012. And the non-manufacturing PMI, which is a gauge of services and construction, stood at 54.8 versus 54.3 in February.
The US is also scheduled to release its PMI data later. And to talk more about this, we have Kingsley Jones on the line. He's Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. What are your expectations for the US PMI?
Look, we expected to print a little bit weaker as the numbers out of Europe before, but those numbers from China are encouraging. I think the bottom line here is that we're really looking for an improvement in new orders. And unfortunately, in China, that seemed to be the case. The entire global environment now obviously has been going through something of a slowdown, which is in part just the softness in the Chinese economy colliding with the trade war between the US and China, leading to, I guess, last year, a pull forward of orders as people tried to beat the trade tariffs on exports, and then subsequently a slump. And now I guess what we're all looking for is an improvement in new orders, signaling that inventory has been cleared and that businesses are getting ready to restart, as it were. So it's probably still too early to really call that, but they're encouraging signs. So we'll be looking closely at the US PMI data to see evidence that the new orders number is picking up.
Right. And Kingsley, so Theresa May has failed again in her bid to get her Brexit deal past Parliament. So this has led to some speculation that she must now call a general election. How are the markets taking this?
Look, I think the markets are now so used to the stalemate that we've seen on this, what has been a very long process. They've really begun to expect very little. And so therefore, things are stable so long as nothing's happening. And paradoxically, that's quite supportive of the British pound, certainly. And so we're seeing, a fairly quiet period now in markets. I think they'll get more volatile if it looks like a decision might get made, or simply, Britain crashing out with a no-deal Brexit. And obviously those deadlines are a little bit fluid now. They keep getting pushed out. But that's really what markets will be looking for. So I think if we do get volatility, it will come in a short period of time, signalling that, in fact, the markets judge that something's going to happen.
And in Australia, the RBA has an interest rate decision coming up as well. Is this going to be a foregone conclusion to keep with the global trend of either pausing or cutting?
Well, yeah. I mean, the RBA, as you well know, I'm sure, with the housing market being quite weak in Australia, we've seen a significant slump in housing prices across the board. And therefore, the RBA is obviously conscious that, that may have a kick-on effect through the wealth effect, consumer confidence and falling numbers for potentially for employment. But for now, the Australian labour market's looking reasonably strong. So I suspect the RBA is simply going to jawbone things in the near term. Although there are increasing expectations for a rate cut, I think they'll try and delay that as long as possible, simply because they want to keep some powder dry if we do see conditions worsen in China. That would obviously have a big flow-on effect for Australia as a commodity-exporting nation. So the long and the short of it is that I think they've definitely moved towards an easing bias, but they'll probably delay rate cuts in the hope that fiscal stimulus or just a natural recovery in the housing conditions will help the economy.
Now, Kingsley, Lyft in the US was valued at $22.4 billion after rising in their trade debut. I'd like your thoughts on the valuations of these unicorn listings. Do you find them worrying? Because none of these companies are making money. Is it similar to the first tech boom in 2000, which, of course, ended quite badly?
Look, there are definitely similarities. I mean, the key similarity is in this particular marketplace, the more money that you lose, the more the company's worth. And that's reflecting the objectives of both the companies and their investors to try and get a commanding hold on what they perceive to be a very large market. So it's this whole kind of winner-takes-all logic that if you spend enough money and you have the offer in the marketplace and people are buying it, in this case rides through Uber and Lyft, that ultimately you'll be able to monetize that and either raise fees or reduce costs and thereby turn a profit. So, look, there are similarities between now and the tech boom in 2000. I think what is slightly different, though, is that here, if these companies wanted to turn a profit, they could probably restructure their business models in such a way that they really focused on the value add from dispatch, that is to say, finding riders for a service, any kind, whether it's a taxi or a hire car. So there's definite value there. It's just a question of how it pans out over the longer term. With pressure from regulation and the natural pushback from the existing taxi and other hire company services wanting to see the regulation altered. So we'll just have to wait and see, I think.
Thanks so much. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investments Officer of Jevons Global, talking to us about the international market roundups. I thought that commentary on Australia was particularly interesting, not least because a lot of Malaysians have got property investments in Australia. Mm-hmm. So it's going through quite a bad patch right now in Australia with the property market. And if you look at the Aussie ringgit exchange rate over the course of the last year or so, the ringgit has also strengthened against the Aussie dollar. From 3.5 there about a year ago to right now, just under 3 ringgit to the Aussie dollar. So we've got a double whammy there, price weakness in the property market and strong ringgit as well. So, continue to watch that space. Now, Lyft, going back to Lyft, this is the number two ride hailing after Uber in US jumped last Friday after raising about 2.3 billion, or about 10 billion ringgit in the IPO. This is at the top of the elevated range. And on the first day of trading, it just popped 21%.
Yeah, so this I think it closed at about up 8.7% to $78.29 in New York. So, which gives the company a market value of about 22.4 billion ringgit, or 22.4 billion dollars, 91 billion ringgit. So, their Lyft's co-founders Logan Green and John Zimmer will maintain, of course, near majority control of the company through Class B shares, which carry the voting rights of 20 ordinary shares. So, Lyft sold 32.5 million shares after initially marketing about 30.8 million at a $62 to $68 each.
So the usual valuation metric for listed companies is the price earnings ratio, but because a company like Lyft doesn't make any money. In fact, they're making a lot of losses. And similar with Uber as well. Such companies would be valued by what is called the price to sales, price to revenue, because obviously you would have some revenues, otherwise investors wouldn't be interested in the company. And price to revenue valuation is 11 times for Lyft. And that is going to also, some people argue, lift the valuation of Grab in Malaysia as well. If you apply a similar valuation matrix, then it would be 10 billion US for Grab.
Yeah, it's very interesting what this means for other ride-hailing companies, especially here in Southeast Asia, because we don't have a metric yet on how much investors would price a ride-hailing company. Lyft is the very first. So Lyft disclosed in its IPO filing that it's lost $911 million on revenue of $2.2 billion in 2018. And I think that's one of the reasons why investors are concerned that this could lead, that Lyft's price could be similar to the tech boom, because you are seeing a huge amount of money being lost, and yet people are still buying into it because they believe, I guess, that Lyft is going places. Yes. But $911 million.
Yeah, some investors at least who probably did not get in on the game and did not stand to make that gains from the listing. Uber itself also losing a gazillion dollars, but that is expecting to be listed towards the end of this year with a valuation of over $100 billion US, as our guest this morning, Kingsley, was saying. You know, the more money you lose, the higher your valuation. That's a mantra to go by for a lot of these unicorns.
Exactly. And I do like a gazillion dollars. That's a very precise term. Yes,
exactly. It is April Fool's Day after all.
Yeah.
We're coming back with Rantau by-elections after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.